Hey Potters, welcome to episode 315 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay and apparently yeehawing.
Yay, yeehaw.
Inside joke, if you were here early enough. I can't do that anymore. Anyways,
yeah, you can. Everybody can yeehaw. There's no limit on the yee or the hawing.
I'm just going to move straight into Do you want to go first or would you like me to go first?
Okay, so customary cospod and cosplay updates. Would you like to do cosplay updates first?
Okay, I can do cosplay updates first.
Cool.
So you're going to see me leaning down a few times because the stuff for show and tell is all sitting next to me because I ran out of space. And so the very first thing is my customary pile of fabric.
Yay.
Of course, because this is obligatory at this point, because Amber has been working on cutting out the muslin for her Jedi outfit. And that is exactly what this pile is. It is belts. It is my tabard. It is half of the tunic. I have the front pieces of the tunic, and the back half is actually sitting on my table waiting to be cut out. I'm probably not going to make pants. I'm probably just going to wear pre-manufactured pants because I don't really need to make yet another pair of pants for this sort of thing. And so I will have all of my pieces. I am going to have some very light armor, basically just arm guards and a gorget, and that's going to be it. And that should tell you right then and there what this character is, if I tell you that. But I will have those pieces of armor. I'm going to try and reuse some of my existing pieces, but for the clothing parts, I had to recut everything and found out that the tabard pattern that Simplicity has is not a great pattern. I'm sorry. It actually might be McCall. I forget if it's McCall or Simplicity. Either way, it definitely needed a lot of adjustment. Even using the existing measurements, and I have no idea how Anakin fit into that. Anyways, so there's that.
Because it wasn't made for Anakin, that's for sure.
No, clearly not, nor Obi-Wan. I also started going through my fabric boxes because I told you last time that I needed to find a very specific piece of fabric for this and ended up finding more than I bargained for because I had forgotten that I had some of these things. So I found this nice pile of black, what I think is polycotton because it's a remnant. And so, of course, it doesn't say on it Rip Joanne's. But this should be plenty enough to help me make the tunic, either the front or the back. I don't think it's enough for both, but it is enough that I can use it for one half of it, which is great because I can use it my fabric. And then I did find that piece of fabric that I had been looking for. This lovely thing. This was originally used for a corset, but I didn't use very much of it, thankfully. And so this is going to be my tabard. And there's plenty enough fabric in here for a tabard and to self-line it, which is what I need, because I found out as I was fitting it that those tabards are not for women. They're made for men. They are not made for curvy bits in the front. And so the tabard lies horribly on my body. It needs darts, like I need water. But I can't put darts in it because the tabard looks wrong when you put darts in it. If I pinned darts in it so that it would fit well, it looks terrible. And so what I ended up doing is shortening the seam at the shoulder. I pulled it up a full inch so that it would be tighter, and that seemed to help a little bit with the curvature. Hopefully I can do that with this, because again, I can't put darts in it. It looks horrible. And so I'm just gonna have to make do. So there is that. My other lucky find is that I actually found my black vinyl that I didn't even know that I had. I thought I had used this up for a different project, and I like this vinyl because it makes really good sturdy belts. So this is what I'm gonna make my belts out of. And I'm really, really happy I found this because I have just enough to make belts. It is just enough for both of them. And I was doing some research on Jedi belts, and they have posts on them that almost look like they are push pins if you cut off the sharp bit and then glued it on there. It looks like a painted gold push pin. And I found out they're not push pins. Which is good, because I was wondering how you get the belt in there if they are push pins that are glued on there. They are Chicago screws, or binding bolts. And thankfully, from my Athena project, I have 8 of those.
Nice.
So I have all the parts I already need. I have all the hardware for my belt and all the fabric. And then I have my leftover lovely red satin that I'm going to use for the sash, which should also be a blatant flag as to what this character is. And so I have all of the fabrics that I need now to be able to make my costume. I did not, in fact, find enough for the cloak. I'm going to have to purchase fabric for the cloak because I don't have enough, and I would have to quilt something, and it doesn't look right in a cloak if you quilt all the fabric together. And so I'm just going to have to purchase for that. But maybe I don't need the cloak immediately, and that's okay. If I build everything else, it is still a very recognizable character. Now, for the last thing, I had a lot of show and tell. I made a lot
Which
of
is great.
progress.
I'm
So,
glad. One of us has
yes,
to make progress.
I was finally able, because I've gotten most of my stuff organized, so my sewing table is out and it's ready to go.
Yay.
Unfortunately, sewing table took a lot of damage when it was moved. Ripped Joanne's for the third time
Aw.
because I can't repair it and I can't buy a new one. But I wanted to make a prop lightsaber for right now, just because I don't have spare funds lying around to get a Saber Forge at the moment, which is who I'm going to end up going with when I have the money. But for right now, a prop is going to be just fine for photos. And so what I have is I have a piece of PVC pipe, which right now it has a little plug in it, so I'll just take that out. So it's just standard PVC pipe. I'm going to take the contact paper off of it and repaint it and put fun foam on it so that I can make this into a proper hilt. But the important part is going to be this thing right here, because some of you all may not have known that they make these things, which are really cool. This is an acrylic rod. This is plastic. Of course, you can't hear this on the show, so you'll just have to pretend that you hear it going click, 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 click as I knock on the plastic. But what you can do, aside from the fact that you can join this to it like a hilt, is that acrylic rods are very light conductive. And so if I have a flashlight here, like this, and I shine the light through it, you can see how well that actually diffuses all the way through the rod, even though the light is all the way on my other side. And so it actually makes a pretty decent lightsaber if you're in a dim room. Obviously, this is not going to work in full daylight. There's not much I can do about that unless I were to use sandpaper or acrylic frosting all the way along and basically make it frosted so that the light diffuses better. That would help it in broad daylight, but again, there's only so much you can do with an acrylic rod. But these are really neat if you want to make a prop lightsaber. They are 3 feet long, so they are, a good length for lightsabers. I don't know if it's standard length because you can get between 24 and 36 inch lightsaber. I did check. But the only downside to this is that you cannot take the blade out like you can with some lightsabers. You don't get the nifty hex key where you can remove the blade and then just wear the hilt. Unfortunately, once I stick this into the PVC pipe, there's not much I can do about it. It is stuck there. So I'm going to have to make a very different kind of sheath for my lightsaber because I can't just hang it on my belt. It's going to drag along the ground because I am short. But these are really cool. You can get them at most plastic stores, so stores that sell things like styrene, that sell Wonderflex, things like that. Shout out to Regal Plastics in Irving, Texas, if they are still there. That's where I got this one. They do have a storefront that you can go visit. They do not sponsor the show, obviously. But these things are really cool to use in cosplay. I also used one for the light arrow when I had my UA costume, as well as my Lena costume. Both of them also used an acrylic rod for the arrow because, like I said, it diffuses light really well. So I did want to show that off because cosplay is cool. And so that finally concludes all of my cosplay
Huzzah! Congratulations.
And that's the end of the show. Thanks very much, Paul. I took up the entire show talking about shiny things.
Well, to help you know, yes, Recall Plastics is still open. Yay! Thumbs up.
Awesome.
That's good to know.
Just from them, and then they load it into your car for you, which is actually really cool. Yeah, I bought all of my styrene there. But it's cheap. You can get a 4 by 8 foot sheet of styrene, which will last you a really long time unless you're making 501st armor. And it's $12. It's so inexpensive. It's one of the only things that's inexpensive in life these days. Of course, if you're making a full set of like stormtrooper armor, it's obviously not going to get you very far.
Yeah, there will be other alternatives too that are probably much more cost effective in the long run and probably last longer too. All righty. Well, for Cospod updates, because I am not in a position to be sewing or crafting anything, even though I really, really want to, So I don't have any cosplay updates, but I do have Cospod updates. Just kind of a weird little funky note about one of our episodes. If you don't follow our social media, because I know a lot of people have been kind of tuning out of social media, which I totally get, I wanted to briefly update a change we had to make to episode 312. That's the one where we reviewed an AI-generated sewing pattern and had lots of fun with it. We had to edit the audio version because we had a copyright claim by several companies from one of the podcasting aggregators. And funny enough, this is the one time we didn't get copyright claimed on our theme song, the one that I made. It was actually copyright claimed for a 19-second clip from the Nutcracker, which is a public domain item and is free to use. When it happened, I was like, if I was not looking at our email, just checking to see if somebody had like sent in something at that exact moment, we only had 24 hours to respond. So they would have otherwise pulled our episode for the copyright claim. And it was like, okay. What I decided to do was I went ahead and counteracted the claim, not just for us, but for other people who potentially get copyright claimed for the same thing in the future, because obviously that's incorrect. They shouldn't be able to claim it. One of the companies that claimed it is a very, very big music company. And I was concerned about us poking the bear. So I said, you know what? It's not going to destroy the integrity of the episode if I just remove that 19-second clip. If you want to watch what that clip is, it's best for you to go to YouTube and you can see the full episode. And actually, that particular episode is very much a video-heavy episode, so I would highly recommend you watch it instead of listen to it. That particular segment was just the beginning where I did some funny clips of people leaving negative reviews on AI-generated sewing patterns, and it just happened to work in tune with Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy, and I thought it was funny. That's why the only reason why I made it. There's no audio commentary. There's no voiceover. So like the integrity of the episode itself is not damaged in any way, shape, or form by removing it. But if you happen to watch the episode and you decide later on you want to listen to it, you're going to notice that there's a small piece of it missing. That's all. So just more of an FYI. There you have it. The little silly Cospod update that be of all the things that happened to us. Otherwise, everything else on Cospod is running very, very smoothly. We appreciate that.
To your comment in chat, Tamlin, about the film. Unfortunately, this acrylic tube is not a tube. It is a rod. You can see it's not hollow. So I can't actually put anything into it. Now, I could wrap film around it if I wanted to. They do make frosted films. Mm-hmm. Just the adhesive on those, if you leave it on for a long time, can be really difficult to get off cleanly, just like any adhesive that you leave on for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a little hesitant. In fact, this rod right here actually has a lot of adhesive on it right now that I actually need to use solvent on to get off. Right now, it's not a very clear acrylic tube. It's actually kind of frosted from tape residue. But yeah, unfortunately, this is not hollow, which in a way is actually what kind of helps its light diffusion. It's also very nice for, you know, not actually whacking people with it, but sometimes pretending, like if you get really irritated. Yeah, do not use the cosplay props to actually harm other people. Please don't.
No whacking other people. That's not allowed.
No. You know, the last time I actually took that to a convention, which I want to say was Akon, if I remember it correctly, they were upset because I had a EL wire bow, which meant that the string was also EL wire. For anybody who's ever used EL wire, it is not elastic whatsoever. And so I had it loosely glued to the bow so that I had enough slack that I could pull it back for pictures to make it look like it was a bowstring. They didn't like that because they said it looked too much like it was actually functional. And it's like, you realize this is about the same consistency as limp spaghetti, right? There's no elasticity. I cannot actually use this to launch anything. Mm-hmm. I would have to throw the rod to make it actually go anywhere. This is why we can't have nice things at conventions. Shall we move into the main body of the show?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get to the topic at hand. What did we do, Amber? What did you do?
Excellent. I'm always the troublemaker, yes. But so I went ahead and dug in our archive of cosplay bookshelf entries because we have accumulated a ton of books from Humble Bundle over the years. Whenever they have a cosplay bundle, I usually pick it up. This time around, from last year's bookshelf, I read the Advanced LED book and went ahead and did a review for you. So, enjoy! Hello, Potters. Amber here, and I have a delightful book review for you all today. Advanced Cosplay Lights, Animated LEDs by Svetlana Quint, who is Kamui. And we have interviewed her before, and she is awesome. Not just a cosplay, but a really cool person, too. So, let's go ahead and get into it. I did want to give a caveat to the Potters for this, and that's that when you go through this book, it is assumed that you have read her previous books on LEDs. It's not a huge deal. Don't panic if you haven't, in fact, read her other books and you have this book in your collection and you'd like to go ahead and use it. The only downside is that you won't understand some of the references that she gives in this book, and she doesn't necessarily go back and explain some of the topics that she's covered in the previous books. So that's just something to keep in mind if you're reading this and you haven't read the previous books first. One of the things I wanted to get out of the way is that she is very heavy in this book on Adafruit. And if you've never seen Adafruit, please go look it up because it is a very nice shop, especially for cosplayers who want to add electronics to their cosplay, whether it's LEDs, whether it's sound, whether it's any other sort of light. You could even add smoke effects too. It's also focused on Arduino. If you end up wanting to go with a different ecosystem, like say Raspberry Pi, just keep that in mind in the book, is that she is promoting Adafruit. And she is promoting Arduino specifically. One of the first things that she covers in the book, and this is one of those areas where it's assumed that you have read the previous books. And so she doesn't go into any sort of depth per se on the different materials that you need to do soldering. I did want to mention one thing for those who have not read the previous book and may get a little confused by this reference in this book. And that is a helping hand, also sometimes called a third hand. It's not actually going to get an assistant to come sit next to you while you are soldering, although that is definitely a very welcome thing to do. No, a helping hand or a third hand is a very specific piece of equipment that has little metal pincers on the end of flexible metal arms, and what it's used for is to hold things in place while you are soldering, basically an extra set of hands so that you don't have to grow another set of hands. And that's all that she means by a third hand or a helping hand. One of the best things about this book is that she gives you all of the wiring diagrams. And if you've never soldered before, or you've never worked with breadboards, or Arduino, all sorts of electronic components, having one of these is a lifesaver because it tells you exactly where things are supposed to go, and more importantly, where they're not supposed to go. Especially as you are soldering wires, you need to know exactly which nodes that you need to attach them to, because it's a very precise place. If you're doing things like controlling strands of lights, they're very easily read and they're very simple diagrams. There's not a whole bunch of wires running everywhere. It's very easy to understand as you are looking at them. The one thing that kind of perhaps frustrated me a little bit, and I say this with all due respect and kindness, basically she did a lot of MacGyvering in the book. And there are some practices that you may or may not want to follow in here. I mean, yes, they do work, which ultimately is what matters. But for safety reasons, you may want to learn how to do it the formal way, the documented way. And that is most especially because you're dealing with electricity here. But I will tell you from experience that if you happen to have raw wires touching your skin, you will get hurt. You need to have insulation on those wires. And so that there's a reason why there's a way to do some of these things. And so I would urge you to safety first, as always, safety first, safety second, etc. But please consider things before you start to MacGyver them is all. There are plenty of libraries that she covers in the book as well that you can use that are basically just pre-made scripts so that you can just drop it into your Arduino and go. You don't necessarily have to write the script yourself. All you have to do is just make a couple of tweaks here and there, maybe to change the color of your lights, how long the lights flash, that sort of thing. So it's not terribly difficult overall. Once you get the hang of it, that is. In the beginning, it may seem like rocket science. Rocket science is also very cool. Shout out to Artemis. But this is probably going to be the hardest part of the book for most folks to get, aside from the physical act of actually soldering the connections. And again, with practice, that will come too. This is also one of the most helpful things that I saw in the book. Not only the wiring diagrams, but the diagrams of placement in the props. Whenever you go through and add electronics to a prop, chances are good it's going to be battery powered. What that means, however, is that at some point, those batteries are going to die. You will either need to recharge them or replace them, whichever you choose to do. And that means that you need to put that battery pack somewhere where it is easily accessible to you from that prop. And that can be a bit of a difficult thing to do, a bit of an engineering challenge. It's something that you do need to design into your prop from the beginning. I will also tell you that from experience, but you need to make it so that you can easily replace or recharge those batteries. Troubleshooting. I'm so happy that she covered this section in the book because it can be really, really difficult to troubleshoot electronics, especially if you're not familiar with the electronics in question. And so she actually has a list in the book of the different situations that you might find yourself in and how to troubleshoot them, or at least a method to go about it and what the cause might be. I would urge people not to simply throw more power at the problem, and that's simply because LEDs have a certain amount of power that they can take before they burn out, sometimes very spectacularly. And so the more power that you put into the LED, the closer you're going to come to that threshold and potentially burn out your project, in which case you have to get more LEDs. The problem could be in your code, it could be in your wiring, it could be a bad connection with the board, it could be a short, it could be any number of things, basically. And so that list is really handy to have for troubleshooting in the case that your lights just aren't doing exactly what it is that you want to do. And so this is actually, in addition to the wiring diagrams and the prop location placement diagrams, this is probably the other most helpful portion of the book that you will want to keep handy. I did want to give one last shout out as we close out the book, The Acrylic Christmas Ornament. This is a cosplayer's best friend. Everybody knows and loves the plastic ornaments that come in halves that you can put all sorts of fun things inside, whether it's light, whether it's paint, whether it's all sorts of fun things. You can put glitter in there as well as nail polish. Everybody knows and loves these. And she made a really cool prop using a plastic Christmas ornament. So I would say, all in all, this is a solid book to have. I wouldn't necessarily say that the techniques in here are advanced per se, with the exception of the programming code part. That can get pretty advanced pretty quickly. But since, for the most part, she used pre-made components, I would probably actually put this at a bit more of an intermediate. I would have put it more advanced if there were different effects or if you actually had to solder LEDs yourself, rather than using the strips that come pre-made. That's not to take away from the effectiveness of the book. It is very effective, even if you haven't read her previous books. The instructions are very easy to follow. This is definitely worth the money. I would simply say that it may not be as advanced as some folks were not expecting, but still a very useful reference book to have. Hopefully you enjoyed seeing what you could of the book. Obviously, I can't page through the entire book and just show it to you, but it is inexpensively available on her website. It's also usually available in the Humble Bundles. They always have a lot of Kamui stuff in those bundles, which is really nice to have as an option. But also, everything in there was incredibly helpful as a cosplayer, even if it wasn't necessarily as advanced as I might have liked it to be. And that's just my own opinion. If you were writing your own programming code and not using somebody else's, if you were actually soldering, you know, LEDs that look like this instead of LEDs that come in a strip, then that I would consider advanced. But for what it was, it will definitely serve for just about any cosplayer.
Awesome. Cool.
Yes. I have all these props sitting next to me. I can't go anywhere now.
You're boxed in by your props.
I am boxed in by my props. I really am. And my fabric, my giant piles of fabric.
Of course, always the giant piles of fabric. It's required by law that you have your giant piles of fabric.
You know, they always say measure twice, cut once. And for me, that's doubly important. And so I'm looking at a pile of muslin here from all my previous projects because I keep all of my patterns. And when I no longer want to have that particular cosplay, if I can't wear it anymore, I've decided to move on, whatever, and I know I'm not going to use that pattern again, so I don't need to repair it, then I take apart that muslin and I piece it together and I use it to make new muslins. which is exactly what I did for my Jedi costume. Everything is like hand basted and quilted together Frankenstein pieces, but it works, and that's all that matters. I just have to be really careful of anything with darts, because if the piece doesn't have a dart, I can't use a muslin piece that has one, because otherwise it ruins, you don't get an accurate lay of the fabric. And so I have to pattern out everything before I actually cut into the real fabric, because I can't get more of the real fabric Rip Joann's for a fourth time. All of it's from Joann's.
I feel like
I haven't visited my.
that this episode at this point is no longer about the book, but Rip Joann's
It's
continually.
Rip Joann's. Yes, because I continually find more things that, give evidence to Rip Joann's. I haven't been to my local Michaels yet, and as far as I know, that is my only fabric store that I have available as an option. For everything else, I'm going to have to go online. And I'm always wary of doing things online, not just because obviously I can't be there in person to feel the fabric, look at the drape, that sort of thing. At least some places are doing videos for that now so you can see it. But I don't trust the display on my monitor to have accurate cues for the fabric, especially because, and that was why I had to find that one particular swatch of brown fabric, is that character has a very specific color for that portion of their outfit. And I didn't want to trust that to my monitor, where I think it looks correct on the monitor, and then I get it in and it's a completely different hue that just doesn't work because it has to be in contrast with some of the other pieces. And so that's, I don't like ordering things online for that reason, is it
I
has
get
to
it.
have the right drape, it has the right texture, right hue, everything else.
I get that. Yeah, there's some iridescent organza that I ordered a while ago, and I think I must have ordered six different swatches just to make sure I could get the right color undertone. Like there was like a gold, an orange, a red orange, a burnt orange, a yellow gold, and it was like I want to get the right tone, but it's one of those where you have to see it in person to truly get an idea for what's going to work. 'Cause they all looked really great online, but which one is it really going to be when I finally plop it onto the costume? I don't know. I got to get swatches. And thankfully, more places are getting better about offering swatches or doing like a swatch pack. Like if you order 10, they'll give you a discount on it or give you free shipping or something. So I'm like, okay, at least it's getting a little bit better. But some places still don't give you swatches and you just have to buy a yard and you're like, well, this is what I got. This
Yes.
is what I got to work with. Yay. Or donate it afterwards because I couldn't use it. So yeah, I get the struggle.
Yeah. I didn't want to have to purchase because a lot of places don't offer free swatches anymore, even if they're tiny. Like, if all I need's 2x2, there's not a lot of places that do that anymore. They'll have a minimum amount where it has to be like 6x6, 8x8, or like you said, a full yard. And they charge you appropriately for that amount of fabric. It's not free anymore, even if I were to pay for shipping. And so I don't want to spend $12, $15 on swatches if I already know I'm going to have to also spend 100 or more on the fabric plus shipping.
And I understand why they charge for the swatches because at that point, that portion of the fabric is no longer usable. I get it. I understand. So I'm not mad at them for it. It's just it's becoming a little bit more inconvenient because we don't have local stores available where we could possibly source that material. It's like we're all being forced to go online to get what we want.
And even online, some places now have minimum orders where it's not just a yard. Some places it's 2 or 3 yards for a minimum order now. And it's like, what happens if I only need a quarter yard because I'm just doing binding? I can't do that. What am I supposed to do with the other 2 yards of fabric I had to buy that I don't need? If you're ordering a little bit extra in case you mess up, I could see that. But having to order 3 yards of something that I only need for just edging is like a little wasteful.
I've been finding myself doing a lot of donations to local theaters and school theaters for my excess because it's like I know I'm not going to use any more than this tiny amount. Let me give it to some place that could utilize it more than I can.
I have been, even when I go through my muslin, I will piece together basically anything that's larger than 4x4. Anything that gets smaller than that, you get to a point where you can't
You
really
can't do
use
much
it.
with it that you
It's
kind of have to
not
dispose of it.
worth it. Exactly. And so those I've just started throwing out. And so Like, I will use up what I can and I will reuse what I can until I can't reuse it anymore. But there does come a point where it's too small for me to actually piece
Right.
together or be worth piecing
Right,
together.
right, right. You gotta know the limit.
Because as I've been going through my boxes, again, I have found a lot of fabric swatches that I did not know that I had. And so now I'm going through, well, how can I use this up? Because usually those pieces are large enough. They're typically a yard, 7/8 of a yard, really close to a fard. And that's enough to get the front of a shirt. It's enough to get the front of a vest. It's enough to line something. It's enough for accessories like scarves and whatnot. So those are plenty. But I have one find that I'm going to talk about in the after session.
Oh, okay, cool.
Dun, dun, dun.
That'll be incentive for everybody who's listening right now to go to YouTube to watch our YouTube exclusive after session.
Do we have anything else we need to cover on today's show for updates?
Nope, but we are good for today's episode.
Excellent. Well, if you would like to share with us what you're currently working on this Memorial Day weekend for upcoming cons, or maybe you had a secret find in your stash you didn't know that you had, feel free to let us know via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
If you are watching us right now, you know the information is located right underneath Amber and in all of our show notes below. For those who are listening, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, on YouTube as CosPodcast, and on Blue Sky as CosPod.
Or if you would like, you can also email us. podcast@cospod.org, where you'll get an answer from each one of us, along with curated Nick Cage memes.
I have nothing to add to that because
yes,
I need to use more of that.
After 13 years, we are still doing this. Otherwise, please stay safe. Stay healthy out there. Definitely stay safe if you are driving this holiday weekend here in the States. Keep working on all of those cosplays so that we can all see your smiling, shining faces at a convention local to us ASAP. If not this weekend, then another. Otherwise, we will see you all next time in episode 316. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.